Balor or Dua Harris?
And welcome back to the Faceless Men podcast covering HBO's Game of Thrones television series. I'm your host, Michael.
And I'm your host, Jesse.
Welcome to Season 5, Episode 5, Kill the Boy. What do you think about this episode overall?
Eh? Better than anything we've seen so far this season. There's definitely a lot more plot buildup, but still.
How many Joffrey death scenes would you give it?
0.35.
0.35? What?
I'm sorry, 0.75. I was thinking back.
I would give it at least one, if not two. Oh. Things I liked about this, I feel like there was less location switching.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They definitely followed one person longer and kind of completed a kind of story.
Right. So that's really cool how there was less location switching, longer periods of time at a location or with a specific plot point. There was a lot of plot movement, I felt, and we even had some action excitement. So, I would almost give it two.
I don't know. Watching Joffrey's purple face.
That was good. But the impact of that has obviously decreased as time went on. Alright, so you give it 0.75 stars. I give it 1.5. Basically double.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're going to get into fast cap. So, we'll start at Marine. And at Marine, we see Grey Worm lives, Barristan dies, and we get some dragon-fried masters. We go to the wall. News of Dany has reached Maester Aemon, who's a family member, obviously. He's a Targaryen. Jon negotiates with Tormund. Stannis is a pedant.
Stannis is a Grimmarnant.
that he is. Winterfell. Brienne tries to send a message to Sansa. Sansa meets Reek / Theon. And Roose Bolton will have another heir to compete with Ramsay. Back at the wall. About libraries and practical knowledge. We find out where the Dragonglass Hoard is. By the way, it's Stannis' home base. And Stannis encourages Sam's research. At Marine, Grey Worm awakens and whispers sweet nothings to Missandei, who counsels Dany to choose her own path, which is to open the fighting pits and marry Hizadar. On a boat, we see Tyrion and Jorah is taking a shortcut through Valyria. We get some history. A stone man ambush, and Tyrion is saved by Jorah, but at a high cost. That was pretty short, actually. Not very many plot points. No. Or, I mean, locations. Switches between locations. I liked it a lot. So let's go back to the beginning of the episode at Marine. With Grey Worm Awakening. Do you have anything you want to comment there?
On Grey Worm, no.
What about Barristan?
Yeah, I'm pretty sad about Barristan. And that's where I think if Jorah, after all that's revealed about Jorah, after he manages to survive, there's an opening for him, right?
That's right. No more Barristan of the Bold, so that's an opening for a Westerosi councilman, right?
Yeah, and him and Jorah really butted heads, so he's going to be the moderate voice, even though he was echoing Ser Barristan. He's kind of the moderate voice for her, the Mercy voice.
Right, so, but he'll still be button heads with Daario.
Oh, yeah.
Queen's lover.
But I think Barristan kind of did anyway, right? Or at least their views.
He wasn't in competition for the love of Dany. So there was a different dynamic.
I don't think Jorah ever was either, but he didn't know that.
What do you think about Dany's decision to gather up all the heads of all the families, take him down to the dragons, and
no idea why. I have no idea why. She had no evidence that any of them were, you know, harpies, unless she did, but they didn't show it.
Right, they didn't reveal that evidence.
Maybe she did. Maybe she knew exactly which one of those fuckers she wanted to burn.
I think she just picked one at random.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not sad to see someone burned and eaten by the dragons, but it seems like I don't know what she was trying to get out of that. Just cow the...
Well, I think she felt left with zero options, right? Actually, so she was actually following
out.
No, she was following Dario's suggestion, right? She said, what do we do now? And she was like, well, I like your earlier suggestion that we gather up all the heads or whatever and do whatever with them.
But that she only killed one of them.
You're right. She pulled her punch. But I think, so this episode kind of has a theme, and it's in the title, right? Kill the Boy, Kill the Girl, where we see two leaders here that have to step up, right? Jon has to step up. Stannis has to step, or more than two, Jon and Dany, big time. Stannis has to make a move.
Tormund.
Yeah, Tormund has to step up. Samwell has to step up. You know, he's responsible for knowing, you know, we need to know how to fight him, right? And Jorah had to step up as, you know, something. I don't know, the captor of Tyrion.
Kidnapper.
So, and then we have a fried master here, you know, finger looking good, I guess. They ripped him apart, the dragons. Kind of like, I wonder where Sandor was when we needed him. It's all finger-looking good.
Yep. And fried. I mean, that's just handy, being able to breathe fire like that.
Yeah, it is. It definitely made a statement, but then she basically does a 180 later on in the episode.
It seems super inconsistent. You kill them all. Or maybe she was just trying to make a point to one of them.
Well, we'll come back to this later on in the episode. So we go to the wall. and we see Samwell's reading a message to Maester Aemon, right, about Dany, that she's stuck in Slaver's Bay until she can secure the freedom of the former slaves. And we see he makes some comment about how it sucks that he's old and weak and brittle, and it's his only living relative left, and he can't do anything about it, right? Yeah, it's basically what he's saying.
He makes a comment about being alone sucks.
Yes.
You're cut off from the rest of your family. And
So this kind of goes back to what I've been saying a couple episodes now, is because we've been wondering, do they even know what's going on over there? And the answer is yes. People know what's going on over there. They're just not concerned about it because they have different priorities. We see John comes in and talk to the Maester. Mostly he seeks his counsel about, hey, I've got this decision to make, and half the men aren't going to like it. Aemon reminds him, hey, half the men already don't like you.
So how many are going
to
be left?
Right, and this is where we get the namesake of the episode. You know, it's time to kill the boy and let the man be born, right? So he takes that counsel and he goes to Tormund. You know, basically he's like, look, I got to make this command decision. So he goes to Tormund.
I really like the dialogue here.
It's pretty good, right? So he's like, you know, he kind of starts off, you know, where are the wildlings at?
And he uses the same arguments that he made with Mance. You know, it's not about you, it's about your people. Mance is like, I don't care. They won't kneel either.
Well, but this is different, right? Before it was Stannis. Stannis demanded they swear fealty. That's not what Jon wants.
No, he said stand with me, basically.
Right. He's like, he wants to be equal. You know, he's like, be equals. I will give you land if you fight with us when the time comes. I don't want to lord over you. I don't want to be your king. I want to be your friend, right? Because we need everybody we can get this side of the wall. You guys need us because
if you don't make it over here, your people are gone.
Right? Because they don't have. Basically, I get the idea that they don't have a lot of defenses up there, right?
Nope.
Because it's really hard to build shit in frozen tundra. But here they have defenses. They have choke points where you know they can. Their smaller numbers will make a bigger difference. Tormund, you know, doesn't believe him. He's like, hey, well, you know, and John is like, you know, is it your pride or your fear that's keeping you from doing this? And he's like, oh, it's easy to ask when a man's shackled, right?
Big words from a guy who's got me chained up.
So, and then John does something surprising. He just unshackles him right there, which registers something in Tormund because he's like, okay, he's like, but we will need ships. John's like, I'll get Stannis' ships. He's like, okay, you have to come with me, though. Because no one will believe it unless it comes from the word of the Lord Commander. And you're on a ship with us, so we know that no one's just going to, you know, burn the damn things as we roll out the bay. What do you think about this agreement here?
I'm pretty excited for it. I kind of felt like I kind of saw that coming.
We've kind of called that, right? Like, Somehow John is going to get the wildlings.
Yep.
He's going to become the de facto leader, right?
Yeah, even if he's ally, he'd still be running things. Like,
I think so.
Still be making
yeah.
decisions, even if they don't say they're following them.
And I think events. What will happen? Events will happen, and he will take charge of the situation, and he will earn their respect.
Yeah, he's already kind of had it, right?
Well, surely word's gotten back that he spared Mance's life in defiance to King Stannis, right? Because he defied a king openly. That's got to sit well with wildlings. That streak of rebellion type thing that they got going on. We like the plan, but the Night's Watch doesn't.
So this was kind of interesting because no one seemed to be on board. It wasn't just half.
Yeah,
no one liked the plan.
I think that there are people that said, look, like his friend, I'll follow you wherever you want to go, but I don't like this. I don't like this at all. It's bullshit.
Yeah, because when you've been killing each other for that long, and granted, they see it as one way, but it's not been one way, has it?
No. I mean, they've made raids north of the wall, right? That's what they did.
Yep. Isn't that what Halfhand was all about?
Yeah, so they patrolled the north, you know, because when they ran out of White Walkers, they found the wildlings as their enemy. Yep. Is basically what happened.
Yep.
You know, that's been ages ago, thousands of years ago.
And even has that interaction with the kid to show exactly
Ollie.
What everyone's, like, opinion is.
Right, and so, and of course, one of the Night's Watch speaks up, you know, it's fewer enemies for us, but John, which also, we see the grammar Nazi Stannis, he's like, less, it's less.
No, I think they said less.
Oh, they said less, so that's right.
They said fewer.
So it's like the stupid ass sign in the express checkout, you know, 10 items or less, it's actually supposed to be 10 items or fewer, whatever. So Stannis the pedant, grammar Nazi. But he's wrong, right? John's like, that's not how it works.
Yeah, he points out the thing that, hey, every one of those people that die up north
They feed the army.
Yeah, we'll be walking back this way. Right. So, and he's right. He's got a point.
He is right. And I think that even though there's a bad response from the Night's Watch, I think that most of them would just deal with it.
Oh, yeah. I doubt there's going to be like a revolt or anything.
Well, there might be a small mutiny, but if you have all those wildlings on this side of the wall, what are you going to do about it?
And Thorne was he was pretty quiet.
Well, he did say something.
Yeah.
I mean, he did say, but he wasn't like in his John's face. It was more like, this is the voice of the opposition. We've been fighting them for forever.
Yep.
We've had all this, you know, they killed half our people here.
But he didn't seem like, hey, this is, you know, this, you suck, John.
Yeah. We're like, yeah, we're not going to take this and, you know, down with the Lord Commander or something.
What's his face? They got his head.
Yeah, I didn't see anything mutiny. I just saw a bunch of, you know, like.
That's shitty.
Complaining.
Yeah.
We go to Winterfell and we see Brienne.
So what do you think is going to happen here? Do you think that the whole network of whoever these people are going to recruit Brienne and them? Brienne and Pod to...
See, I got some combat, some differing opinions here. So I think that she is going to start some kind of underground, or get with the underground. Surely there's an underground, right? The North remembers. The North remembers, and they don't like the Boltons, which was obvious from the innkeep, or whatever he was.
Even Mormon's daughter. You know, Stark's on fire.
Right. Right. And so she's trying to get a message to Sansa, you know, through this network of people who remember the North. Basically, no one likes the Boltons there at Winterfell. So yeah, I'm wondering if they're basically stoking the fires of rebellion here. You know, like, rise up against the... I mean, how much forces do Bolton... I mean, Bolton's got what they got via betrayal here, right? Mostly at, you know, with Walder Frey. I mean, sure... I mean, because Roose was a bannerman, right, of Stark, but how many people have sworn fealty to Bolton?
Yeah, that's a good question.
We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
Because it hasn't been enough.
And the question is, how big is his army actually, right?
Well, he was complaining about it, right? That's why they wanted Ramsay to marry Stark, so they could actually get some of these bannermen to flock back.
Now the question is,
to support him as Warden of the
resistance
North.
Resistance in Winterfell larger than his army, or...
I think it could possibly be that way.
Because, you know, I'm not even sure how big Winterfell is. Like,
well, even if the Boltons have northern bannermen, given the opportunity to serve a true Stark...
Yeah, they're not going to...
What are they going to do?
Not going to stick around for
real. They're going to... Right. If anything, they'll swear their fealty to Stark. Sansa
turn on Bolton at the first opportunity, just like he did the Starks in the beginning.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we see Ramsay, I guess, trying to appease, comfort, threaten his mistress, right? So she's all pissed off that...
This is the lady that was with him, the Kennelmaster's daughter, right?
Right.
So the lady who helped him hunt down some other girl, right?
Yeah, some other
peasant girl. So now it makes you wonder, this adds a little bit of thing to it, is she... How bad is she actually, right? So maybe she's the way she is partly because she's under Ramsay's thumb.
Unless... Well, I imagine he's helped develop that side of her, but I bet she had a mean streak in her to begin with, which is why she's still around.
Yeah.
And not being hunted down, right?
Yeah. And I still think, especially after she led Sansa to Theon, even though that she knew that Ramsay didn't want Theon found by Sansa... So she's starting to plan her own rebellion, and it seems to be targeted less against Sansa and more against Ramsay.
Yeah, I have that question too. Like, so she wasn't happy that he's getting married to her, and then she definitely wasn't happy when he said that Sansa was pretty, and also that he was waiting, can't wait for the wedding night, right? So he wants to consummate that wedding with Sansa, but he still has time for her, right?
Yeah.
What every mistress wants to hear.
Yeah, so I thought her jealousy would be more targeted to Sansa and less to Ramsay himself. But I don't think
we'll see.
After.
Well, the next scene shows Sansa in her room, right?
Yeah.
And some lady comes in, wants to change out the water or whatever the hell she's changing out. Sansa's like, I don't need that. And then, you know, she delivers a message, right? You have friends. You have friends here when you need them. And whenever you need them, light a candle in the broken tower, at the top of the broken tower, which also happens to be... Where Bran was shoved out of, right? So yeah. Lots of great things have happened. Actually, bad things have happened to Starks at this broken tower.
Lots of bad things have happened to Starks all over the place.
And then that's when, after that, because she's going to look at the tower, right? That's when the crazy mistress shows up, the Kennelmaster's daughter. And is like, they have a short conversation about Sansa learned how to stitch from her mom, and the Ramsay's mistress is like, oh, that's nice. That means anytime you wear something that you've made, you'll remember your mother. And Sansa's like, I'd rather have a mom. And then she's like, I gotta show you something. Takes her to the kennels, right? Now, when they open these, she's like the last stall. When she first opened that gate, she started walking down there. I was like, oh, shit, they got dire wolves in there,
yeah,
right?
We totally thought they were dire wolves. We were totally banking on dire wolves.
I was banking on dire wolves, but that's not who was in the stall. That's not what was in the stall. Who was in the stall?
It was Theon.
Yeah, Reek. Reek was down there. And, of course, you know, there's a moment, a tense moment where they lock eyes, and, of course, she storms out of there. And the whole time I'm thinking, where are you storming off to? Because you probably should keep that information to yourself.
Yep.
So, with the next thing we have, they're having dinner, right? It's a family dinner. Roos and his Walder, you know, the Frey girl, you know, his wife, Ramsay, Sansa, and then...
So this brings up one of the talking points of...
Because before we had Theon. Theon brought up that...
What do you think his goal was of having Theon mention the dead brothers? Because they, I mean...
Right.
Ramsay knows that those boys aren't dead.
Well, here's the thing. So, in the previous... We kind of skipped over in the previous scene... Theon, or Ramsay gets out of Theon that Sansa's seen him. So he has Theon serve her water and then brings up, you know, has him apologize for murdering the brothers. I think he brings it up because, first of all, it's now knowledge that Theon Greyjoy betrayed Robb Stark and murdered the youngest Stark children.
Yeah, and that's something we talked about last time. We weren't sure if she knew, right?
Right.
That kind of underlines it, yeah.
So she knows, and basically, I think this is the opening salvo of the torture.
Oh, you think?
This is the beginning of the torture.
I think it's more psychological torture to Theon than it is.
I think it does both. I think he's maximizing his...
Oh, you think this is more kind of targeted both. To Sansa too?
I think it's both, yeah. So he's going to... that's what he does. He tortures people. And it's starting mentally with Sansa. But she seems to hold her own, right?
Yeah.
During this thing. Now, the reason... I have a question. He said something that made me pause during this dinner. He said, Ramsay says the North remembers. Did you catch that?
Oh, yep.
He said the North remembers. Did the guy in the tavern that was serving Brienne say the North remembers? I don't think so. Who else has said the North remembers?
The first chambermaid.
And the second chambermaid. It's the chambermaid,
yeah,
right?
The chambermaid.
What if...
You think that's an entire ruse?
It's something put up by Ramsay to fuck with Sansa.
Just an elaborate plot?
Yes. So, the way it's set up, we think that the message got to Sansa, right?
Well, we don't know, because we don't know what Brienne's message was.
First of all, we don't know what Brienne's message was, but I think it's strongly implied that the message she sent with the old man...
Was put a...
Put a candle in the top of the broken tower. But what I'm saying is, what if... That message was from Ramsay.
That is curious. I didn't even consider that possibility.
Yes. So it's Ramsay setting Sansa up for a fail, which will then enter torture mode, you know, like fifth gear, torture mode fifth gear, in the broken tower.
It'll give him an excuse to do it, right?
Yes.
I can't see...
Well, it would also get her away, you know, the broken tower, no one goes there, right?
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, that's really curious. Because I definitely can't see Ramsay accepting any kind of woman who's not broken in some way. Or anyone, period.
Anyone. He screws with everyone.
And that leads to a nice announcement of...
Another plot point, right? So, the Frey girl and Roos are having a kid, which is another heir for the Bolton. A true heir.
We see later...
In wedlock.
Yeah, you definitely see Ramsay's kind of worried about that.
He is very worried about it, but Roos kind of smooths that over, right? Says, this is mine, this is ours. Will you help me, you know, defend this against Stannis? Because he breaks loose, said Stannis is coming south, he's got to go through Winterfell. But I'm not totally convinced.
Another question that I said, well, what if they don't know? But apparently, yeah,
they do know. I told you, those troop movements are too, it's too difficult to hide. Everybody knows this shit. But what if Ramsay murders his new mom? Along with the potential threat, you know, to his legitimacy to inherit everything, right?
I could see him doing that. And I can see...
Can you see him also murdering Roos?
If he doesn't kill Roos, I kind of wonder if Roos would care that much.
I think Roos would care. Because Roos is also... So the apple doesn't fall from the tree, right? We get Ramsay's history here, right? So two people in Bolton's domain got married without him knowing it. So he hung the miller, raped his wife underneath the miller's corpse, and then when she came back a year later with Ramsay, almost killed them both. But he saw something. And the same thing he sees today, you know, that he is his son, which is how he smoothed out everything, right?
And I wonder if that is less... I think he knows Ramsay's... He's at least mostly aware of Ramsay's nature.
Sure,
so
yeah.
So if it was more of a...
Well, because he said he disgraced himself at...
Yeah.
At dinner today with, you know, bringing that creature, that busted creature. So I see some motivation here for Ramsay to remove his father. Because now he's legitimate, right? They made him legitimate. So he is the heir. Remove his father, remove the threat to his inheritance, and possibly set Sansa up to be tortured by the fake message.
I agree with that.
But it'll be interesting to see if the people of Winterfell actually turn against... Because you see this all happening at once, right? Stannis hits, the siege hits, Roose does something, it triggers Ramsay, he goes on a murderous rampage, killing his father and the other... his mom and... soon-to-be brother, and then, you know, like, the whole thing playing out in one murderous spree.
So I think Roose would either be prepared for him, or maybe this catches him completely by surprise. I feel like...
I think that would catch Roose by surprise.
I don't know. I'm not necessarily so sure of that. But I'm also not sure that Roose will live through whatever battle this thing
is. So you think maybe Roose is willing to sacrifice his son, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because... Even I'm pretty sure Ramsay gets that nature from somewhere.
Right. Oh yeah, I'm sure Roose is willing to do that. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see which Bolton comes on top.
Now,
if any.
Do you think Stannis is going to win this battle against Winterfell?
I do.
I do not. I think Stannis dies here.
I think his forces are going to win. He's got a superior force, and he's got the Red Witch.
That's true, but I feel like she's losing a little bit of faith with him if she started seducing Jon. I really don't feel Stannis is either going to win or walk away from this battle.
Well, talking about Stannis, we go back to the wall, right? And we see Gilly and Sam talking about books. She's like, is this every book in the whole world? And Sam's like, no, this is a very small library. And she's like, well, where are they all at? And he's like, well, the biggest library would be at the Citadel. And she's like, well, where's that? And then Old Town or something, right? And then she's kind of like, I'm sorry, I don't know as much. And Sam's like, what? You know, all sorts of stuff I don't know how to do. Like, how to start a fire when the wood is wet. You know, all these practical things. You know, how to sew these things up. You know, how to do all this stuff. And she's like, and how to mop and do laundry and stuff like that. But then, you know, interrupting that stuff, Stannis comes in. And he's like, hey, you know, you're Samwell, right? Son of so-and-so. And we get a little backstory on Samwell's father. He's the only guy to defeat Robert Baratheon in battle.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool. So Samwell comes from some kind of notoriety, I guess you could say, which is probably why he was such a disappointment to his father. So we also learned that he wanted to be a maester, but obviously that didn't come true because of his father.
This makes me feel like he's on his path to become a great general.
Who, Samwell? I think he's on his path to become... who?
I don't know.
I think he's on a path to become a great advisor. Like maybe a new line of maesters. Or something. But this scene, I was like, all these scenes with Stannis in the North has actually made me, he's grown on me. His character has grown on me. I really like him.
I agree. That's why I think he's going to die.
You think so? They're making a slight meme right before he's going to die. I can see that. But
Because I feel like it hits the top and then they just kill him.
Well, what the top would be was him actually winning Winterfell, and then after that, something dark happening to him. You know, Ramsay assassinating him or something. But here, he treats Samwell like a man. He's like, so you're the guy who killed the White. And he doesn't question it, right?
Oh, he doesn't, like, disagree.
He doesn't, he doesn't dismiss him or nothing.
You don't look like a soldier, but...
Right. So, I imagine it's all because Melisandre has been like, this is a real deal. So, you know, they tell him about Dragonglass, which is obsidian, and then he's like, hey, was that Dragonstone or whatever? Is that his home castle?
Yep.
We have a lot of that stuff there. So, information for the future. And two, he's like, keep researching, because we need to know how to kill these things when they come south.
Yep. So he's showing a little bit of faith in Sam.
Yeah, it's, you know, I like it. You know, it's kind of like...
Play to your strengths.
You figured out something important. You're looking for something important. Keep doing these things that are important. Thank you.
That's really why I think Stan is going to die. God, I hope not.
And then we see Stannis, he makes the decision to leave, right? And Davos asks if he's going to keep the daughter and the princess and the queen here.
Why?
He's like, yeah, these are all rapists and murderers here. You know, like, they'd be any safer here. And besides, the army of the dead is marching south. Who knows? You know, it's like, no place is safe. No place is safe. We see some interesting interactions between Davos and Shireen. They're talking about the battle, and then, you know, Mon comes up and is like, quit, you're going to scare the child. I'm like, what? That child has more metal than you do.
Definitely.
But Davos left with, you know, make sure you protect me when we get out there. I love those interactions. I'd like to see more of that. And I think we will. Maybe you're right. Stannis dies and Shireen steps up.
She
somehow.
Wouldn't she? Or would she
be? Well, her mom would actually be the one, but hopefully she dies too.
Oh, yeah.
I think the one wild card in this battle is Melisandre.
Yeah, we haven't seen her do much since she tried to seduce Jon.
Right, and I think that from the sound of it, Stannis has his superior forces, and he has Melisandre.
I don't know. I don't feel like she's going to do much here.
I think that we'll see her do some stuff in the battle at Winterfell. Anyways, we'll go back to Meereen. We see Grey Worm awakens, and he says, you know, I'm ashamed, and Missandei's like, why are you ashamed? And it's not because of my wounds, it's because of my fear that I would never see you again. So some touching love scene there, I guess. And then we follow Missandei.
So, yeah, what? Do you think that's a good thing? What's happening to the Unsullied?
Well, I guess you have to ask yourself a question. Are they less efficient when they have something to lose?
I say no.
I don't think they're less efficient either.
I think they fight harder. Right?
I agree. When you have something to lose, you fight harder. Of course, it also gives you greater leeway to make bad decisions, but I think in the end, the pros outweigh the con. We follow Missandei to Dany, where Dany asks her, basically, you know, what's your opinion on what's going on? And she's like, I'm not in a place to have an opinion. She's like, sure you are. And so she says something important. She's like, I've seen you follow, you know, closely weigh and judge your advisor's counsel.
And use it.
Right. I've seen you totally blow off your advisors and do something totally different because you saw another better way. Which leads us...
Now, do you think that that's where Jorah would have stepped in if he was still there?
No, I don't think Jorah can fill Missandei's role.
Not Missandei, but like another advisor. Because she's talking about Barristan being the one who always counseled Mercy, right?
True. Yeah, I don't know what Jorah would counsel now. He's kind of broken.
Yeah.
By the end of the episode, he's even more broken. So she does this, the path not taken, right? So she goes down. I guess she's going to free all the heads of the families. She apologizes and says that she was wrong. And then she reopens the fighting pit for free men only, no slaves, ever again. And then she marries Hizadar.
That seems very... I mean, she's already kind of earned the ire of some of the slaves she freed by executing that one slave, right? And now she's kind of turning her back.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know. She seems kind of going back and forth.
So you said something here. Yeah, so earlier you said that there's a lot of... She's kind of flip-flopping or something. You know, going back and forth, wishy-washy. And I actually think this is because at some point, George R. R. Martin wrote himself into a corner with Dany and Meereen. And he's trying to figure out how to get her the fuck out of there. What do I do now?
Yeah, I think we've discussed that before.
Right. So I think I've glanced at things online called the Meereenese Knot, and that's what this refers to. He's kind of written himself into a corner, which is why Jorah and Tyrion's on their way back, right?
Yeah. Hopefully they can lever her out of there.
Which brings us to our final scene on a boat towards Valyria. So I guess this is where the Targaryens come from, right? Valyria. But according to the history that we get dumped on us here, the doom still rules, right? I don't know what the doom is, but everything's smoking and steamy, and it's a ruined city, and I guess the way the lore goes is that they all stood there, right? And the doom took them all, except for the Targaryens, I guess, who left.
Fire so hot it burned dragons.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, I was wondering if this is some kind of volcanic thing. They said doom, and that everything was smoking and stuff. I wonder if it's like a volcanic thing.
There's probably some lore here we are totally missing, and everyone knows what's happened to us.
I'm sure. But I bet that I'm placing my bets on some kind of volcanic eruption catastrophe thing.
I wonder if it isn't what, because they talk about the Stone Men. And they talked about the Stone Men more in this season you know, leading up to this.
Yeah, they're going to play an important role somehow.
Yeah.
The role they play here is that they ambush Jorah and Tyrion, right? And we were watching this, and I was like, man, wouldn't it be cool if those gargoyles, you know, in that aqueduct or whatever the hell it was, came to life and swooped down?
Maybe those weren't even gargoyles. Maybe those were people standing up.
They were gargoyles. So stone men are kind of like gargoyles, right? Yeah. They have stony flesh, and they're feral, and they sit on buildings lying in wait very still. Because as soon as that camera panned back over, they jumped down. I was like, I called it. So, yeah, that was interesting. So there's a fight between a bound Tyrion, Jorah, and these stone men on a boat. I thought that the episode was ending when Tyrion lost his vision, right? It went black.
I was totally waiting for it just to end there.
It would have been a good spot. Yeah. It would have been a good spot to leave it, yeah. But instead, we see him coming back to, you know, consciousness. Jorah's sitting over him. They're on a beach. Jorah frees him, and they're like, you know, what are we doing next? I guess we're going to have to walk and see if we can find a boat somewhere else. But at the very end, you know, he checks Tyrion and be like, hey, were you touched by him? And he's like, no, were you? And Jorah shakes his head, no. But as he turns around to get firewood, pulls back a cuff, and he's got a small spot on his wrist. What kind of implications do you think that's going to have?
I have no idea. I think that they either have to make it really fast to Meereen, and maybe he can be healed, or he's dead before they get there, in which case...
Maybe they get there... And he doesn't tell anybody, and then he starts an epidemic. A stone man epidemic in Meereen. And so everybody has to vacate.
Maybe that's what happened to Valyria, is they, you know, epidemic of that stuff, and that's everyone died by fire. You know, they burned plague victims and stuff.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. But maybe that's what gets Dany out of Meereen. They all have to leave or become stone men. Because there's, like, feral mobs of stone men running around.
That's, yeah. And that brings back Tyrion's... So maybe Jorah or Tyrion end up killing Jorah.
Well, yeah, because I don't think... Yeah, Tyrion's not going to die because of...
Oh, no. But I think Jorah will. I think Jorah's going to die a knife through the heart. Because it kind of foreshadowed of Tyrion saying, you know, better stab him through the heart than just drop him off from that island, right?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, so maybe he was foreshadowing Tyrion's mercy for Jorah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So, I have a question for you. You think that Dany marrying Hizdahr is going to stop the harpies? Do you think they will quiet after that?
I don't know. I don't know what kind of repercussions marrying Hizdahr will have. Is she going to... First of all, is she going to marry multiple people?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
When she gets across the Narrow Sea?
Yeah.
What's going to happen to Hizdahr when she has to leave Meereen?
Every city she stops at, she's... I doubt that. That's not...
You don't think that's going to happen?
No.
Like, they're all marriages of...
A state, yeah. State marriages.
Yeah. Convenience. Marriages.
She's pretty strong. And I can see her cementing the people to her without doing this. And, I don't know. Weddings don't seem to have a happy ending in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, we really don't do feedback very well. I don't like reading from stuff.
What do you mean?
So, I don't like pulling up all the stuff and just reading it, you know, people's feedback. Oh, but we do interact with it.
Yeah, I do. I'll take it upon myself.
Okay, more. I guess that's something you're in charge of, Jesse, is feedback. We apologize for not getting back with anybody, discussing your feedback on the cast, but we do interact with you. I respond to most emails, I reply to most tweets, and I reply to comments on Facebook. So if you want to interact with us and talk with us and give us your feedback, be sure to reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/FacelessMenCast, Twitter at FacelessMenCast, Google+, plus FacelessMenCast, or Gmail, FacelessMenCast@gmail.com. And I hope you've enjoyed this episode. I'm your host, Michael.
I'm your host, Jesse. Valor Margulis.